Yo, what's up? All right, so as promised, I got another podcast going. This is the intro to Squad, S4QUAD, Sam talking shit, sports and stuff. All right, let's go ahead and get right into this shit. So as promised, as teased on the Facebook, okay, I'm going to give you guys a little... some pointers, you know. I had a whole lot of coaches growing up, obviously, in football especially, and some that I didn't quite agree with. A lot of them did. You know, I played everything from tight end to defensive end, defensive tackle, outside linebacker, inside linebacker. I went all the way up to safety. I played wide receiver, fullback a couple times. I mean, basically everything on. Oh, long snapper one time. I mean, pretty much every position on the field, I played it at least once. Never really played corner. Obviously, didn't really play on the offensive line, although I did play tackle one time, and that was all right. I got a fucking mean kick step. I got a mean kick step. I had a fucking shimmy back there, okay? Punch you right in the mouth. All right? Either way, this is how... In my opinion, okay, if I'm a head coach or if I'm an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator, this is how I'm fixing Little League, okay? One, I feel like coaches try to get way too complicated with this Little League shit, okay? I'm talking about everyone 7th grade and under, okay? 8th grade, you can start implementing some of the high school stuff that they're going to be doing at the next level, so that way the transition's a little bit easier. But if you're 7th grade and under, there's zero reason, especially on the offensive line, that you should be doing pull blocks, that you should be trying to hook people. Basically, if you're doing anything other than just firing out or maybe even doing down blocks is probably the most that I would do, you're probably doing a disservice to that kid. One, they're not really understanding the concept of, you know, hooking people and even why they're hooking people on blocking. They're not really that athletic enough at middle school to be doing pull blocks. And not only that, but you're putting the defense on the other end at a severe disadvantage, because usually in middle school, or at least with my team, we had a lot of fast guys on the defensive line. And on the offensive line, it was not like that. You basically just put the biggest dudes on the offensive line and you try to get them to block people. Okay, the problem with this is if you have your good athletes as a D-tackle, as a defensive end, as linebackers, and you go ahead and try and pull that guard, all you're doing is just opening up a massive gap that your offensive line might not be able to close because, again, they're not the best athletes. It's usually just the big guys on that offensive line that they might not be able to close, and basically you're asking for a play to get blown up. So instead of doing that, let's just go ahead and do a fire out blocking zone scheme. You know, get a fucking guy back there at running back that can read holes. And some of you guys might come after me and be like, okay, well, not all running backs can read holes. Okay, well, then you put your best player back there, because let's be real about this, right? If you're under 7th grade or 7th grade and under, you're not passing the ball a whole lot. It's not like we're running air raid offenses in middle school and little league, so it doesn't matter. Put your best player back there at running back. Put your best player at quarterback, whatever, okay? Run a zone read. Let them start learning how to read the defensive end, okay? And let's start doing that. Let's just have the offensive line, okay, fire out every single time. I don't care who you hit. Just hit somebody. Fire out. That running back has got to figure out how the holes open and where they are, okay? At most, maybe down block, okay? Oh, shift your tight end if you have one. If you do, I would recommend it, obviously, if you're under 7th grade, because you're going to be doing a lot of running. You can basically basically tell a kid that they're a tight end and they'll kind of get happy, and then you just make them a glorified blocker. It's kind of fucked up, but it happens all the time. All right, so you basically just put that tight end, you know, maybe flex out the tight end a little bit, all right, and then have everyone down block to the left side, okay? Go ahead and have this guy run to the right. That leave that defensive end open. Now, at least with the tight end, you have someone that is a little bit more athletic. You can ear hole that defensive end right off the bat. Now you got a whole entire wide open running lane. Now it's one-on-one with the linebackers. If your best athlete is the running back, your best athlete should be able to beat most linebackers in middle school league, okay? And if the linebackers are following, as soon as those guys stop, they're going to go to fill, whatever, okay? Again, you have your best athlete back there at running back, so really doesn't matter. All I'm saying is let's stop trying to teach people how to pull and how to, you know, hook people on blocking. Just have them fucking fire out, have a running back there that can find a hole and get going, okay? Same thing with the quarterback, all right? And this is just, I'm trying to simplify everything for the Little League because, again, they don't need to learn all of this shit until they get into high school, until they get into college, okay? That's why I say at eighth grade, then start implementing that stuff. Start adding extra practice days. Start teaching them how to hook blocks. Start teaching them how to pull. You're starting to get more of a better athlete. You really don't find what kind of athlete you have until they get into high school and they have the opportunity to lift weights and to do combine-like things, okay? So let's just start being more realistic with these kids, okay? Same thing with this quarterback, all right? Quarterbacks just, in all reality, like I said, you're going to be running a ton, okay? So quarterbacks just have to learn how to do a fucking play action. Let's stop trying to teach these kids, you know, all these different passing concepts, okay? Let's stop trying to teach them how to, like, read a defense. And if you are going to read a defense, let's have them read one side of the defense at a time, and let's have him just like read a corner or just read a safety, okay? Let's not have him sitting there, oh, if the linebacker drops and the corner comes up and the safety shifts over, what are you doing on this flood route? No, they're not going to get that. A large majority of kids in middle school are not going to catch on to that. So it's just, you're wasting your time, and also you're going to confuse this kid, and more than likely the scheme that you're running in middle school is not going to be the scheme that they're running in high school. So just make it super basic. Teach them how to do a play action pass, okay? Same thing with these wide receivers. Let's get them to stray away from running slants and corners and basically these sharp, you know, 45-degree angled routes, okay? If you're going to have a receiver learn something, have them learn dig routes, you know, a dig route just going up 10 yards and then cutting straight in along a line, okay? That allows the receiver, then you can kind of teach them to kind of post up in windows. You can teach them just to drag across the field, okay? Run these little drag routes, run quick routes, run bubbles, run quick outs. You know, if you're going to go long on a play action, go ahead and teach them how to run a streak properly and a fade, all of that stuff. But let's get away from running these slants in these corners. One, not a lot of kids actually know how to throw a slant properly. You're putting the wide receiver in a whole lot of risk running a slant because obviously kids don't have that great of control of their body in middle school. So if you're having them slant right into where a linebacker would be, the quote unquote thing of keep your head on a swivel, that's not really happening at the middle school level, especially not the grade school level. So you're really putting kids at risk when you have them slanting right into where linebackers could be. Obviously kids watch football, they see all the highlights, they want to make the big hit. You're basically about to just have a little kid get his head fucking taken off. Doesn't really seem to do all that much. Okay, learn how to do the play action. Learn how to do little outs, little bubbles. If you're going to run a shotgun offense, go ahead and teach them how to run a proper bubble. Or, you know, just have them fucking go back a couple yards and just backpedal, you know, and then put your best athlete out there to run the damn bubble, okay? Get the ball in his hands. Let him do his thing. Let him go take it to the house, okay? Or, you know, put your fastest guy out there, run streaks. There's tons of things that you can do in middle school that don't require pole blocking or learning how to like hook people, whatever, okay? Teach them how to pass block, kick step, you know, do all that shit. Learn how to catch people, okay? Fire out block, quarterback, learn how to play read action, okay? Just read that defensive end, do play actions. Okay, and then teach them how to throw ins and outs and streaks and bubbles. And then once you do that, you're pretty much set on your offensive side. And that's just really how I feel. Make it simple. I think that will be the best way for middle schoolers to find easy success and to really feel good about themselves and to really easily learn the playbook. Okay, on the defensive side of the ball, this is how I would fix the defensive side of the ball. I would play a 4 to 5 man front, always. I would put my largest kid right in the center, right lined up over the right over the center, and then I'd put my best inside pass rusher right by him, either on the left side or on the right side, doesn't really matter, okay? The largest guy, he's going to probably warrant a double team. If not, he's just going to blow up the center because a lot of centers don't figure out the eye-hand coordination to snap and then go ahead and fit up right away, all right? So basically just put that. Put two guys at defensive end that basically just play contain and tell your linebackers that their job is inside out. Go and fill gaps, okay? So go ahead and take those linebackers, go fill the gaps. Man up on the outside. Kids love that shit. Kids want to play man in middle school. They see all these dudes, Stephen Gilmore, they see Jalen Ramsey's, even Patrick Peterson's, Richard. They see these dudes playing man all the time. They want to play man. They want to be the quote-unquote the best guy out there, okay? Let them go do it. Let them play. All right, when you're doing this, you're more than likely you're going to take away the run on defense, okay? That means you're going to force, again, middle schoolers that aren't that great at passing normally to go ahead and throw that ball, all right? That's giving you opportunities for big plays. That's giving you opportunities for turnovers, sacks, all of these things, all right? Look, all I'm saying is, like, let's be smart with our kids. If they're in eighth grade about to go into high school, go ahead, start teaching them all that shit. Start teaching them how zone works and hit the flat and how to rotate over and start calling strong side, weak side, whatever. Start calling all that once they get into that eighth grade to prepare them for high school. But when you're under seventh, sixth, fifth grade, they don't need that shit, man. They just want to have fun. They want to go and fill. They want to have one assignment, one thing to do. Go get the ball. Go play. You know, press this guy, man up, be the Jalen Ramsey's. Like, that shit's cool to them, all right? So, like, let's just go ahead and just make things easier on them, all right? Like, let's just stop messing around. Okay, we're going to go ahead and transition real quick right into the NFL playoff matchups. I kind of broke them down last time. I'm going to break them down a little bit of again, and I'm just going to kind of tell you guys my thoughts, who could potentially upset people, what games I believe will be good, and so on and so forth. We'll get right into that. So the first game that I have written down here is the Rams versus the Packers. Okay, Rams, it's hard for me to put any stock in the Rams right now because I hear that Aaron Donald, I hear that he's dealing with a little bit of a rib injury, okay? That's going to be a problem, okay? If you got to constantly get that shit injected, we already saw what happened. Tyrod Taylor got a goddamn golf tee stuck into his lung, okay? So dealing with that, that's always going to be huge. And now I'm seeing reports that they're trying to tell people that they don't know who's going to start, if it's going to be Goff or one of their other quarterbacks. Okay, well, that's dumb because Goff won the game last week for you. Obviously didn't play his best, but he still came out there. He did his job. He got the W against a terrible, broken Russell Wilson, and he got the job done for you. So I don't understand this whole we don't know who's going to start thing. I would assume that Goff is going to start. It'd be kind of stupid not to. You know, maybe McVay is just flexing on all of us, and he's just kind of stirring the pot for no reason. That could be the idea, but who knows? What it sounds like to me is that Goff's done in the Rams. I think he's going to be on the move, maybe look for a trade somewhere. It would be pretty dope if they somehow packaged Goff and a couple first-round picks and sent his ass down to Houston and then got Deshaun Watson back in return. That would be pretty dope, okay? You could also probably trade Goff straight up for Wentz. I'm sure that would probably work, but now that Wentz has the head coach is fucking out of here. I would assume that Wentz is probably going to stick around. That's just me. Who knows? But obviously, if they're already skeptic of Goff playing and he's healthy enough to play, which we saw last week, I don't know why he wouldn't. So that's just my take on that. Packers obviously got fucking MVP Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't been named MVP yet, but he will. Also, the Rams haven't had a fantastic running game. They're not bad, but they're not great. Packers' weakness is a running game, but their passing is their specialty. I mean, they got Jair Alexander. They got Amos back there. See, I mean, they have a fairly good secondary. You got Kevin King back there. I mean, you have guys that can play the ball in the air that make good decisions. Alexander has only allowed one receiver to go over 60 yards, and I believe that was Connor Kupp. Or Cooper Kupp, sorry, Connor Kupp's his brother. It's a linebacker. I believe that was Cooper Kupp was the last receiver to go over 30 yards on him this entire season. So, I mean, let's look out for that matchup. But I don't see that the Rams making any kind of impact against the Packers. Let's just be real. That's just dumb. I don't see them walking away from this game. This next game coming up. Ravens Bills. This is probably gonna be a great game to watch. This is one of my games that I want to see. It is a little concerning that Lamar came out and said that he's never played in the snow, which potentially could be snow in Buffalo, obviously. Granted, that might help them because that might make them focus on the run game more, which is what their specialty is, being the Ravens, and just focus on running the ball, possession time, defense. Okay. The Bills, obviously, Josh Allen's fucking slinging that ball all over the place. He just kind of looks unstoppable right now. They're starting to figure out their run game. They have three wide receivers that are really good. The way that they have it set up is fantastic. I mean, Diggs can run every route on the tree, okay? You have Jaron Brown who can just take the top off, and you got Cole Beasley down there and just running under, doing little drag routes, little bubbles, little slants. I mean, this guy is just going across the middle. Shout out to Cole Beasley getting, I believe he got second team All-Pro, all right? So he's just having a career year, and the way that they have that offense set up, like, that's just great. As long as the Bills can stop the Ravens offense, I definitely see the Bills walking away with a win here. This next game kind of sucks, guys. I'm going to be real. Kansas City versus the Browns. I believe the Browns are getting 10 points. The KC is 10-point favorites. That seems like a lot of points because this entire season, Kansas City hasn't covered one time. I just don't see Kansas City winning by 10, but I do see them beating the shit out of the Browns. But the only reason I say that is because I believe Kansas City can kind of turn it on whenever they want, whereas the Browns have been very hot and cold. I mean, on the entire season, they have a negative point differential, which basically means when they've lost really bad, and when they've won, they haven't really won by much, is pretty much what that means. So I don't know. KC is just so dangerous. They can turn it on, and in just one quarter they can turn it on and just destroy everyone. It doesn't make any sense how their team is built. And Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill both having over 1,000 yards. I mean, good luck, Browns. That's all I got to say with that one. This is potentially my favorite matchup of the playoffs, and this is Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Obviously, New Orleans beat the fuck out of Tampa Bay twice during the regular season. Something in me just says that Tom Brady will not let that happen again with Drew Brees. Drew Brees looked like he's had a freaking noodle arm out there. I just see Tom Brady just going in there and just smacking Brees in the mouth. That's just me. You guys can disagree if you want. Don't care. But yeah, Brady is probably going to go ahead and go slap that dude right in the fucking mouth. That's what I got to say about that. I think Tampa Bay and New Orleans is probably the most even matchup that we've seen as far as the teams on paper. New Orleans definitely has a better secondary, and they got that dude just starting fights with all the Bears, which is another question. Why in the fuck do the Bears always kind of start a fight with all the New Orleans secondary? Like, is that dude Gardner like really getting under people's skin? Is he the new Cortland Finnegan? TBD. Who knows? So I told you guys on the book of faces that I was going to go ahead and dive into a little bit of basketball. Well, today we had some breaking news. James Harden is out of Houston. Got traded to the Nets. Boogie Cousins obviously was not happy with it. He said that James Harden was disrespectful way before the interviews. He was just showing up late, nonchalant, didn't really care about the team. I'd be pretty pissed off if I was Boogie too, especially coming to Houston thinking that I got John Wall and James Harden on the team, and then all of a sudden James Harden's pulling this bullshit. Seems like Houston sports teams are having quite a rough 2021. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, James Harden to the Nets. So he's reunited with Kevin Durant. We saw a little interview today from Stephen A. Smith saying that he thinks that Kyrie should retire. I'm in agreement, and if he doesn't retire, I think the Nets should fucking trade him. And I think you should send him to a team that he really doesn't want to go to. I don't know if he has a no-trade clause or not. I would assume that he probably does, but if he doesn't, trade his ass to Sacramento for Marvin Bagley, or trade his ass to Sacramento for Buddy Hield. That way you got James Harden cooking at the point, you got Buddy Hield coming in at the shooting guard, and you got old boy Kevin Durant killing that. But have James Harden, you know, run the point. Have him passing and dishing, and Buddy Hield would be a great third option. I mean, Buddy Hield, 3-point champion. I don't know why that wouldn't be an idea, but yeah, Kyrie needs to get the fuck out of town, because there's no place for him to be doing that stupid shit, especially not in Brooklyn, who's been ass for so many years, and now they're just getting back to relevance, and now Kyrie all of a sudden doesn't want to fucking play basketball. Like, figure it out, dude. Like, I'm all for what you're doing in the community, and that's great, but if you're going to put the community first, do that. Like, retire, go put the community first, like, go do the outreaches, do that shit. But if you're going to be a basketball player, you better make time to play basketball, right? Okay, stemming off of some of that that trade that happened, you got Oladipo going to Houston. I think Houston is still a contender in the West, and I think the West has like 12 playoff teams, in all honesty. I mean, they have good teams in the West, like even the bad teams, like even Sacramento is still a good team. You got Fox, Hield, Bagley. Okay, you got, those guys are good players, okay? You got Houston with Oladipo. He's now paired with Wall and Cousins. I think that Oladipo will make a great pairing with Wall and Cousins. Wall has always been like a really good floor general. He's kind of more of a secondary guy, even when Beal was there, okay? Beal kind of took over as the primary scorer. Oladipo can step into that role. Cousins can also step into that role if he comes back and he starts playing like the old DeMarcus Cousins. You know, I still think that Houston could be a really good team. You got the Phoenix Suns, which are balling out right now, okay? Portland struggling a little bit, but they're still pretty close to a playoff contender. I mean, they could definitely be a playoff contender. I don't think that they're a championship contender, but they're definitely a playoff contender. You got both the LAs, okay? I mean, New Orleans, you got Zion. I mean, granted, they kind of got fucked this offseason, but still, you got Zion, so your future's kind of looking bright, all right? So there's just so many teams in the West. You can never count out Popovich with the Spurs. It's tough to see. Along with that trade, you know, Indiana got Caris LeVert from the Nets, and the only thing that I am like thinking of is like, is Indiana going into a rebuild? Like, are they putting all their stock into Sabonis? Are they putting all their stock into Miles Turner or Warren? Do they think that Warren is good enough to, you know, lead the team in scoring and get it cracking? Like, what is Indiana going into a rebuild, or are they just kind of reloading? Are they hoping to get an okay draft pick and maybe get one of the stars? Are they trying to build their team so that during this free agency, when someone comes available, they can go ahead and bring that guy back? Maybe, hey, don't quote me here, but maybe they bring back Paul George. Maybe they bring back Paul George. I know he said something about he wants to stay in LA for the rest of his career, but Yeah, fuck that guy. All right. So, yeah, basically, I just think that, I don't know what Indiana's gonna do. I think that they're doing that clearly as a reload type of thing, I'm going to try and attract the best free agent that I possibly can. And I kind of teased this next portion of the podcast on the Facebook. I'm not going to do the power forwards. Like I said, I'm going to go ahead and put the power forwards on the next podcast, because I want to try and keep the podcast at about 35 minutes and under, since I'm only kind of hitting two sports right now. Once we get onto a little bit bigger of a platform, then I'll go ahead and start diving into more stuff, and we'll take out more time of people's days. But so I'm just gonna go with the top 10 centers. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is my number one center. Okay, I just think that he has the best all-around game, passing, rebounding, offense. I don't think that he necessarily is, I mean, he's definitely the best passer. I don't think he's necessarily the best rebounder or he's the best at offense. But being a center and being able to pass like that and handle the ball and shoot from three is definitely a problem for the rest of the centers in the league to deal with. And the way that he just maestros Denver is outstanding. I mean, it's crazy the way that he kind of just takes over the floor. And with Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, that is just, he's a perfect fit exactly where he's at. And I hope that they can figure it out and really make a run at this thing and hopefully get into the Western Conference Finals. Probably not beat LeBron, or maybe they will. Maybe they'll beat him with, you know, team chemistry. Who fucking knows? But, you know, Jokic will be number one. Number two, we're going to go ahead and hit Embiid. I think Embiid is hands down the best scoring center in the league. He just puts points on the board. He's not bad at defense either. He alters a lot of shots. He's pretty good at rebounding as well. I definitely think that there can be a strong case made for him being the number one center in the league. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and put him at number two because the homeboy just drops buckets on people. This next guy at number three, Karl Anthony Towns. I think he could play power forward. He could play center. I think that in some cases he might even be able to play small forward. You know, the only reason I'm putting him behind Embiid is because he's not quite as good of a scorer as Embiid is, and he's not quite the passer that Jokic is, but he gets boards and he does put points up on the board. So that's the only reason I put him at number three. You could definitely make some arguments that he might be number two, you know, depending on what you believe is the great qualities of a center. But right now I just have him at number three. This number four one is going to be, probably the biggest surprise. Yusuf Nurkic at number four. The only reason I put him on here is because of how impactful he was for the Blazers. You saw that when he went out, the Blazers kind of fell apart, even with Hassan Whiteside on the team. And when he came back, it seemed like everything was just gelling again. He does really great screens. I wouldn't say that he's great at anything. He can put points up on the board. He can rebound. He can pass. And I just think that he's the only reason he's at number four right now is purely because of how impactful he was when he went out and how noticeable it was that he wasn't there. That's the only reason I got him at number four. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Number five, Porzingis. Some of you guys are going to come after me and be like, he plays power forward. You're true. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he plays center, but homeboy's 7'3", so I'm putting him in the centers. Okay, Porzingis can do it all. Not a fantastic passer, not on the level of Jokic, but definitely puts points on the board, can rebound, definitely plays defense, can block some shots here and there. And you know what? I think that he's in the literally the perfect place. I mean, Dirk just left. You got Luka Doncic. Okay, I think that Luka and Porzingis will be a great pair up for a long time as long as Porzingis can stay healthy. You can probably make the argument to drop him a little bit lower because of health and how he's never healthy, but you know what? I think Porzingis is pretty good. Andre Drummond here at 6. The reason I put Andre Drummond at 6 is because he is a absolute monster of a rebounder, okay? He's a little bit undersized compared to the rest of these guys. But homeboy gets like 15, 16 rebounds a night, dog. Like, a night. Like, homeboy is just out there getting boards. And, like, just for that alone, he's got to be top 6. He's not bad at defense. He averages about 13 points a game. So it's not like he's blowing you away, dropping buckets on you. But just his sheer boards, that's how many times he's just pulling down the ball for his team just by himself. Okay? Like, if you average 50 to 60 rebounds and homeboy by himself is pulling down 16 to 20 of them, like, how do you compete with that? Like, I don't know. It's just hard. He's a huge energy guy. He's got a lot of balance off 2 feet. He's really great. This one right here, number 7, I put Rudy Gobert. The only reason I put Gobert here is because sheerly of defense. I really don't like Gobert. I don't think that he's a great player. He gets some rebounds. Yeah, he averages about 10 to 12 rebounds and about 2 to 3 blocks every single season. Averages about 13 to 14 points, okay? His defense, but the way that he alters shots, being up there at 7-2, is crazy, and that's probably why he's won the Defensive Player of the Year a couple times. Someone can fact check me on that. But that's really the only reason. I really don't like him up there at number 7. And I think the rest of these guys can all kind of be interchangeable, starting at 6, going all the way down to 10. So at 8, I got Clint Capela. Only reason I say that is because we saw what the Houston Rockets were when they didn't have a center. And it seems like he's made a pretty big impact on the Hawks. It seems like they're kind of cooking now. You know, Clint Capela, he's playing defense. He's rebounding. He runs the floor. He does not run the floor like a center. He runs the floor like he's a small forward. You know, just an all-out hustle guy. Will catch a lob here and there. Plays defense. Okay. And same thing with number 9 here at Miles Turner. Miles Turner is kind of the same way. You know, he's put a lot of time into getting a three-point shot, getting a mid-range shot. Okay. You know, he rebounds, he plays defense. He's probably, you know, maybe besides for Jokic, he's probably the best free throw shooter, maybe besides for Porzingis and Jokic on this list, Drummond probably being the worst. But that's why I have him up there at 9. And at 10, I got Steven Adams. There's a lot of stuff that Steven Adams does that goes unnoticed. This dude sets great screens. He's a great teammate. Strong as a bull. I mean, this dude is strong as shit. Could rebound a lot more than what he does. But I feel like this dude is just, like, almost too good of a teammate. Like, he'd be letting teammates steal rebounds from him. If I was Steven Adams, I'm like, look here. Go sit your little ass down. I'm getting all the boards today. You know, he plays pretty good defense. He alters shots. It's not like he's going to drop 30 on you a night or you pull down 17 rebounds. But I feel like he's a great team guy, and he does make a large impact on the NBA team that he is currently on. So that kind of wraps up the segment today, guys. Thank you for rocking with me. Again, name is Sam, but goes by Squad, S4QUAD. Sam talking shit, sports and stuff. All right. I'm going to be coming out with a podcast every Wednesday, because I think that Wednesday, you're right in the middle of the week. You get a little bit of what's happening at the end of the week, and you get a little bit of what's happening at the beginning. And sometimes I'll just come with off the wall stuff, like today with the little league stuff. So yeah, you know, thank you guys for listening, whoever is listening, and I appreciate you. Yeah.